Just so you know, Daft Monks is half talk show, half actual play campaign that features adult language and topics. Viewer discretion is advised.
Let's get to it.
Hello and welcome to Nat One Presents Daft Monks Podcast. Hey Nate, what is on the agenda today?
Tonight on Daft Monks, we are not going to Hollywood. My official announcement to compete in something. Why we should never leave our homes. The official Daft Punk Season 3 theme song. Wow, that was a tough one. And last but not least, Nate, are you team Barbie or Oppenheimer? And let's lead right off the bat with that question.
Barbie or Oppenheimer? I'm going to choose neither, Nate. Neither one of those really tickle my fancy enough to get me to the theater. It's not like Mortal Kombat or Spider-Verse.
You're right. It wasn't a blockbuster movie. Spider-Verse was.
Spider-Verse was good.
Yeah.
But yeah, neither one of those, especially Barbie, it's not in my wheelhouse. I am not the target demographic, which I'm learning quickly, yes, is becoming a real thing. So yeah, neither one. I'm not doing it. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. So you briefly touched on why you don't care for Barbie, but what about Oppenheimer? What was your reason for that?
Oh, it just looks like a fucking bore fest to me. Like, I'm not going to spend money to go watch that shit. You know, like, if I want a history lesson, I'll sit down and talk to Corbin. But
that's true. I'm sure Corbin could also give you a 3-hour lecture.
Right.
On the atomic bomb.
There was this thing going around. It was like, what's wrong in this picture? And it was like the stars on the flag. There was too many of them for it to be historically accurate for the Oppenheimer movie. Huh. And people were making a big stink about that. And I showed the scene to Corbin and I said, this is supposed to be from this era, what's wrong? And within 2 seconds he's like, oh, there's too many stars on that flag. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, if my soon-to-be 12-year-old son could pick that up pretty fast, like, what the fuck is Hollywood doing, you know?
Yeah, okay, that is a point of view. Yeah,
right.
I mean, I won't disagree. Corbin is incredibly intelligent
and bitter, you know, and a bitter old man.
Well, I wonder where he gets that from.
Megan. Totally Megan.
Totally Megan. Well, you didn't ask me, Nate, but I did see both of those movies.
You did,
though not back to back. I was jokingly interested in the Barbenheimer trend to go see both movies. However, and there's a lot of debate about, do you get mimosas for brunch and see Barbie and then go see Oppenheimer, or do you smoke like a pack of cigarettes, see Oppenheimer, and then eat lunch and then, like, you know, cleanse the palate with Barbie?
Oh, yeah.
I can't tell you the answer to that, Nate, because knowing Oppenheimer was a 3-hour movie, we opted to, we have a movie theater here where, like, they, like, serve you dinner. You know, Roadhouse.
Yes, Roadhouse. Right? Roadhouse.
I, like, literally forced everybody to go to Roadhouse on a different night for Oppenheimer because I'm like, if I'm going to sit through 3 hours, then people are going to be, like, bringing me food and meals and milkshakes. And, like, the guy next to me was, like, drinking during the movie and stuff. And it was definitely, like, we all agreed, like, that was the way to see that, like, soul-crushing 3-hour deep dive into history, to a very dark point in history at that.
But it was good. You enjoyed it?
Actually, both movies were really good.
Oh.
And let me tell you why, Nate. I started with Barbie on opening weekend, and the expectations for Barbie were not very high, Nate.
You didn't think it was going to be like a live-action Aqua, like the Aqua music video, and it's just like exaggerated version of that?
I'm a Barbie girl. They didn't remix it with what's-her-face, Nicki Minaj, played in the credits scene. Nate, my opinion, I'm a little bit biased. I am maybe more of the stereotype that were to go see Barbie, but I thought Barbie was pretty hilarious. It, like, starts off right away with, like, Barbie living the perfect life, and Lizzo's, like, narrating, like, the song of her perfect life, but then she, like, starts to become real because of issues in the real world, and, like, Lizzo's like, oh no, sour milk, like, in the song, like, as the song goes on, and then, like, it just, it's like, very, like, really weird, and then, like, within the first, like, 5 minutes, she's, like, having, like, a dance party at her house. And, you know, again, this is, like, the end of the perfect day. And they're doing a dance party. And she's like, do you guys ever think of dying? And everybody just stops. And she's like, I mean, I'm dying to dance. It actually, like, it kept me laughing quite a bit. Now, a lot of men with, like, really fragile egos will not like that movie because, like, Ken is, like, painted out. So, basically, the premise, Nate, because I know you'll never see this movie.
Never, yeah.
Is that Barbie and Ken, Barbie starts, like, becoming real and it's weird. And so she has to go to the real world to find the girl who played with her as a doll. Like, so she's like an avatar for a real doll in the real life. And she has to go, like, her real person's having issues. And that's why she's
starting to like feel normal and have thoughts of death. Like the person is thinking about death.
Oh.
So she's having thoughts about death.
Okay,
so, yeah.
I got you.
Not a bad premise so far. Now, Ken is like forever friend zoned. And so he's like trying to like, basically like Ken, we don't know where Ken's live, right? The joke in like the start of the show is like all the Barbies have their Barbie houses and Ken's are on the beach. But they're like, where do Ken's live? And they're like, I haven't thought of that. And Ken's like, at the end of the night, like that first dance scene, he's like, hey, can I spend the night? And she's like, it's Barbie's dream house, not Ken's. And that turns into this higher thing where when they go to the real world, Ken immediately like separates from Barbie and realizes that in the real world, men rule the world. And he starts just like putting on fur coats, talking about the patriarchy and horses. And then the whole movie is that actually like, and this is what I appreciated. They didn't try to have Barbie go in and be like, let's make the real world better. No, they go back to Barbie land. And what happened was Ken brought patriarchy to Barbie land, made all of the women like idiots serving the men. And then Barbie's like, what the fuck? This is so fucked. And what actually happens is the person who like Barbie went to go save comes to Barbie land and was like, and actually helps Barbie deal with like real life issues. It was funny. Like it had just a lot of humor. I really appreciated Mattel, like, right? The company who like manufactured the doll. They made themselves villains, like a corporate villain. So Will Ferrell is just like, you know, like the CEO, and there's a bunch of guys around him, and Barbie like goes into the office and he's like, I just need you to get back in the box. Like they have like a giant toy box. Like we need to send you back. And she's like, okay, but like, where's the women who run this company? And they just start laughing and like, but like at the same time, they like come around at the end. So like Mattel didn't have a problem making fun of itself. They had all of the like bad, like all they had lots of Barbie lore. So all the dolls that came out over the years, Nate, like that got discontinued because of like controversy were in the movie. So right away, the beginning of the movie, there was one pregnant Barbie called Midge and she got discontinued because that was weird.
Right.
And right away, they're like, all like dancing, and then there's just Midge like in the background pregnant, and then at the end of the movie the CEO of Mattel gets into Barbie land and he's like, wow, what a beautiful place, and he looks at Midge and he goes, oh. Like, and there's just like, there's a lot of that. There is all Ken's, and then there is one Alan in the whole movie because there was an Alan doll because Midge had Alan as her husband.
Oh,
so like there's a lot of like really cool, and I went back and read all about it. There was, end quote, it's called Sugar Daddy Ken. And it's because his dog was named Sugar, and then he had, like, gay earrings, but they called him Sugar Daddy Ken, and he's in the movie, and it's just, like, a lot of, like, really fun references that they're, like, things they're ashamed of. They, like, didn't feel, they weren't afraid to, like, actually, like, joke about it, reference it. So, anyway, Barbie's a really good time, but, like, of course, like, the joke is about how, like, finding the balance between, like, a women's controlled world and a guy-controlled world, and obviously there's, like, commentary on, like, oh, well, guys have fucked stuff up, and a lot of men will probably get. I actually got out of the movie, went to use the restroom, and at the urinals, there was two dads that were like, that was rough. And I immediately thought of you, Nate, of course. And then one was like, yeah, my wife couldn't even make it through the movie, and blah, blah. And I was just like, I don't, like, yes, it's a little woke and it's a little heavy-handed. So
right.
Not for everybody, but probably funnier than you would think. So you have a daughter, and you just, like, rent it at some point. Like, absolutely, it's pretty funny. Anywho, switching over to Oppenheimer, Nate. Yeah, it was good. That was exactly as expected. What I will say they did well is it's very fast-paced. They switch between timelines a lot, and that's how they make a three-hour movie feel very, like, quick. And then the whole thing is, like, you know, they're trying to beat the Germans to building a bomb. So there's lots of, like, urgency in the movie, obviously.
Right.
And that just keeps, for a three-hour movie, the first 2 hours went by pretty quickly. The last third was when I was like, okay.
Right.
Just needs to, you know,
it's after you've been sitting for 2 hours already, and it's hard for anything.
Yeah. I did go with like some science enthusiasts, like an engineer and like a chemist. And so they were telling me like what was accurate and what was not, you know, like, and for the most part, they didn't talk about the flag and the stars, but like the science stuff was like mostly accurate. Yeah. I think two pretty good movies. I'm actually, for a while, you know, with the COVID movies, I really stopped going to, and I'm glad some good ones are coming back. I wasn't enthused about Avatar, The Way of the Water, or any other big blockbusters. And both of those did really well, which is a good sign for movie theaters. And then, yeah, Barbie was like the highest grossing movie directed by a female now. So that's kind of cool. Like,
oh, dang,
cool to see
yeah.
stuff like that. I don't know about Oppenheimer. I think it just did well.
Dang, who would have thought?
Now, Nate, on to a sad announcement. And I think you should be the one to break it because you're very sensitive how you deliver things to people.
Right.
And that is, I do not think, Nate, we are going to Hollywood as we discussed a couple episodes ago.
So we're officially past the mark of when we would have received the invitation, because I'm pretty sure filming has started already.
I'm pretty sure. I say Hollywood. I think, well, what did they say? It was going to film in Mexico City.
Safest place on earth. Mexico.
Yeah. And they would have went there for a chance at a free jet ski.
I would have went there for Nate, for sure. You know? Because I don't want to hear it any other way. Even if we're in the middle of getting mugged, I would have been like, you know what, Nate, I'm doing this for you.
He's so dramatic. As if they even let you, like, they obviously sequester you in a hotel room and then literally, like, escort you in a place. And then the minute they're done with you, they literally fly you out at, like, whatever hour of the night. Like, you're like, as if we'd have time to be in an alley. Like, we don't even get to, like, sightsee or anything like that.
It could happen in the hotel room, Nate. You know where they also sequestered people? Mm-hmm. The movie Hostel. Like, they sequestered them. That's my word
that
of the day
now. That has to be. Is that a horror movie now?
Oh, yeah. Hostel's totally a horror movie.
No, I know Hostel is a horror movie, Nate. I mean, like, where they're invited. Is there a premise of one of your horror movies? They are invited over to a reality TV show, and then that turns it to some kind of
You know
nightmare.
What? That should be a fucking movie, because I love the sound of that.
Well, and it would have a very clear ending.
Like, oh, yeah.
The survivor either does or does not get on TV, which would be funny, but, like, it... I don't know. Most horror movies, we talked about it. Like, they don't know how to end the movie, so.
Right, and the price some people are willing to pay for fame.
Yeah.
You know, they might actually murder other people and be like, do I get on the show now? And they're like, no, there is no show, you fucking idiot.
Exactly. I could see the whole premise of the movie is at least, like, one person, like, is killing people, too, and it's, like, a contestant because they think it's, like, Squid Games, and, like, no, they're just trying to murder us. There is no prize. And they're like, no, you're just trying to convince me to lose.
You're gaslighting me.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Is he stabbing them?
There'd be at least one of those contestants, and that might be you. I think that would be you.
Well, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to win no matter what.
That's true. Even if it's the last person to die, you're going to win. You're going to win that.
I'm going to win that. Yeah.
I can just imagine the murderers being, like, really upset. They're like, he's taking all the fun away. Like, he's like, we're supposed to be killing him. He's not even scared. Like,
let's do this. But very sad. Very sad that we didn't get on the show. But you know what? That's their loss, because we would have been awesome. And we would have cleaned them out. Maybe that's why they're afraid to not put us on the show, because we would have took them for every fucking dollar they got.
I think so. That's what I like to tell myself, is they're like, oh, these guys are too smart at trivia and too jacked. They're going to have no problem pushing the car in neutral, and they're definitely going to answer all the questions right, so they're going to have ample time to do it. They probably thought we were going to be sitting there, like, you know, playing games in our spare time with the extra time in the vault. So,
yeah, not happening.
We didn't make it, Nate, but I thought we were, honestly, I thought we had good shots, Nate. We were, like, a good mix. We were, like, nerds, but we were athletic. I thought we'd be good, but I will say this producer was not my favorite, this casting producer, because the other guy was very transparent. I also, for the Squid Games reality show, I received an email when, you know, I was no longer being considered. These people just ghosted us. We literally were ghosted by Hollywood, which means we're getting on the right track.
Yes, right? We're on that list.
Yeah.
And if they were worried about my passport not being here, like, well, joke's on you, because they got here in plenty of time.
Yes.
It's here right now.
It's here now. Definitely it would have worked, but I actually think we probably would have been trouble. It did not come as fast as I originally predicted. It was not 3 weeks. It was what, more like six?
Yeah.
It was like six. So that was my biggest fear, was the minute they're like, you got the show, they would have been like, you need to send in the next 3 days your passport, and we would have been screwed.
Right.
So, you know, it was probably meant to be. And then if we lied about it, maybe we would have got blacklisted from all the shows. So I guess, you know, maybe it was meant to be. And so I'm going to try to get us on a show. And now you have a passport, so I can drag you to whatever third world country you don't want to go to.
The next game show, Hostel.
Which I think is a great transition, Nate, into, in general, we are not the type of people that should leave our homes, because we end up being miserable.
Correct.
Would you like to tell me your story? Yours might actually be funny. Mine was just depressing.
No, like, it wasn't miserable per se. We tried to do a last minute vacation, like a little family vacation, one last hurrah before Corbin goes back to school, and actually Roscoe's starting school this year.
Oh,
pre-K. I know, he's a big boy now. So we figured we'd take a beach trip. And obviously Corbin has his reservations about going into California. He said he would have preferred to go to Florida, and I said that's not fucking happening. But so we did make the trip to California, and it wasn't bad. Megan drove through most of the traffic, because she knows that I would have ruined the vacation single-handedly if I had to drive through California traffic. So she took the brunt of it in the beginning, and then I drove kind of on the way back. But it wasn't too bad. We went to the beach, boys played. I helped Roscoe build a sandcastle empire, and Corbin decided that he would instead build weapons of mass destruction to attack Roscoe's sandcastle empire. And that was the biggest fight that we had over the course of the weekend. There were tears. There was pushing and shoving. It was a mess.
Boys will be boys.
Other than that, I think it was a successful trip. The boys had fun. Megan may or may not have eaten some rancid lobster at like a little tourist trap restaurant.
Got him.
Got him. She's like, does this smell like hair dye to you? And I smelt it. And I was like, in my head, I'm thinking, yeah, that totally smells like hair dye. But out of my mouth was like, I don't think it's that bad. But I looked it up, and apparently a lobster, if it's dead and then you cook it, it will give off that smell. So it doesn't necessarily mean that it was bad or tainted. It just means that it
died.
Yes. So,
I mean, what does that matter? Like, right, we eat dead things, but like, right. I guess I would not necessarily like worry about that. But if it, did she feel ill afterwards or
did it
smell really bad?
No, it just smelled really bad, which is, I guess, is why that people like kill the lobster immediately and then throw it in the pot or cook it alive. That way it doesn't give off that ammonia smell. So I learned something on the trip, you know, so that's a bonus.
Just like when you kill humans, Nate, like we, what happens, right? We like empty out our bladders and everything. Like
yes,
we're disgusting too.
And then we actually produce that thing that attacks our brain. I watched a whole show on that. If you are a cannibal, if you're a cannibal, it creates some kind of enzyme that slowly starts eating away at your brain. So that's why people say cannibals go crazy and everything is because
they literally do.
Yes. It's this weird enzyme that we create. It's from actually eating human brains. So you could eat someone's body and that's fine. But if you eat their brain, then it's this weird enzyme that actually attacks your brain. And then you start losing it, like starts burning holes in your brain. It's the craziest thing.
I mean, evolution, Nate, or just whatever, science is fascinating. Cause like, I'm guessing our bodies develop that of like, hey, stop eating us.
Yes.
So our bodies were just like not us as people. We couldn't come up with reasons to not get eaten, but like our bodies created enzymes. So I mean, it didn't probably stop a bunch of cannibals,
right?
But in theory, it's kind of like a discouragement.
Yeah, like evolution was like, you know what, this guy is eating other people, so maybe we should put a stop to that.
Though funny you didn't go to Florida. Have you ever, Nate, played the Florida Man game?
No, but Corvin is a huge fan of all the Florida Man memes. So,
Oh, well, then he'll love this game and maybe even do this now. The Florida Man game is when you go into a search engine and you type Florida Man and then enter your birth date or any date you want. And usually for your birthday, you'll get a Florida, like Florida Man does bath salts and murders six children. Like, you know, you'll get stuff like that. Like, I think I actually did mine and it was like Florida Man, like, wrestles alligator in restaurant lobby or something was like the one I got.
Mine is Florida Man encases self in concrete at governor's mansion.
See?
I never would have guessed that in my life.
So yeah, a fun little game for Corbin. If he thinks Florida is a lot better than California, I would encourage him to think again.
So. what about you, Nate? Why don't you want to leave the house? What happened?
It is almost the end of the fiscal year for the military, Nate. The military year goes, or at least the Army military, goes from October to September. And Nate, I can tell you that I know it's the end of the fiscal year, not because of the calendar month, but because last month our water was turned off and at our armory, and we had to work from home, which that was pretty great, by the way. But this month, the Wi-Fi was down, and they stopped serving us breakfast. So, Nate, if you're listening, or if you're an enemy of the state, doing reconnaissance on the podcast, I'm here to let you know the Army is not paying its bills for the end of the month, and we might have some money issues, or at least the Arizona Army National Guard. So, Nate, on top of that, I was driving a Humvee back on Friday here in Arizona with 110-degree weather, and it blew a tire. So I was in a vehicle with no air conditioning off of the highway. Thankfully, it renewed a little bit of my faith in human beings because multiple people stopped and offered us drinks.
Oh,
and in
nice.
Fact, some laborers had like coolers in the back of their truck. There was one guy who gave us like multiple waters, multiple Gatorades, and it was very heartwarming. A lot of people thanked me for my service. That part was sad. But it was just kind of like, at least if you're in a uniform and you seem broke down, I would never stop for somebody probably. I've seen too many of those movies. But I guess if you're in a military uniform, people will stop and make sure you're okay. So
right.
That was probably the highlight, Nate. But you know, not having Wi-Fi when you go to work on a military base is often problematic, Nate, because the buildings are usually coated with metal. So you cannot actually get a cell signal inside of there either. So I ended up staying at a hotel at night when they released us each night, because I'm like, I'm not fucking like, they don't even have bunks for us too. Like, people think we sleep in bunks. No, you literally like in a bay or like a classroom, just take out a cot and sleep on the, like,
oh, dang.
Like there's no bunks or there's no barracks.
Yeah.
No, for the National Guards, no, they don't do that. So I just was like, that's it. Like, it's hot. Don't have anything comfortable to sleep on. There's no Wi-Fi. So I'm out of here. So the guard weekends are generally not enjoyable. However, this one was, I would say, one of the worst ones I've had in quite a while.
Did you have to sit on the side of the road with your flat tire for a while they crunched some numbers to try to get a new tire out there?
Oh, yeah. Well, thankfully, we were pretty close. We were only, I don't know, like 15 minutes away or something off of the highway. We got mostly there. Fun fact, Nate, we actually never felt the tire burst. It wasn't until we slowed down because of traffic that we could tell, like, oh, the tire. Because those things are rated to, like, you truly can continue to drive with a flat tire in those vehicles, because obviously if you're like under gunfire, like, you need the hell out.
Oh yeah.
But we were kind of like, you know, that could still damage like the axle and shit. Like, yes, it's rated for emergencies, but they probably don't want me driving on I-10 with a flat for multiple miles. So we weren't super, I don't know, it probably took like 45 minutes or something for them to get there, which in this heat could kill somebody. But we were fine. They do always tell you, like, bring water sources. Like, that's what soldiers do. It's like, you always have to have a water source.
Be prepared.
Source.
Yeah.
So if you get, yeah, be prepared. So, but it was all good. All's well that ends well, Nate. I am excited to tell you, Nate, I'm officially announcing here on the Daft Punks podcast, you heard it first, that I will be competing, I hope, next year in my first ever bodybuilding competition.
Whoa.
I anticipate doing very poorly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the muscle mass right now. I mean, I'm a bigger guy. But I've put a little bit on. But the thing is, I think, like, it's kind of like when you're going to take a standardized test, sometimes it's good to, if you can, to just take the test knowing you're going to fail. And you're like, okay, that's what's on the test.
Right.
So for me, I'm going to do my first, like, really long-term cut. Nate, I'm at, like, 217 pounds currently. And for a 5'10 person, I learned, Nate, that 5'10. So most Mr. Olympia winners are between 5'7 and 5'10. Or all
of them.
Yeah, they're
short. Yeah.
Yep. So I'm actually, like, not a bad height. I'm on the taller range of the, like, optimal size for,
dang,
like, if you're a very average height, that you're actually great for bodybuilding for that reason.
Whoa.
So it's actually harder for taller guys in the competitions to get the fullness and, like, some of
the
specific categories. But I just want to basically, to get down, I probably need to be, Nate, to be lean. For my height, usually people need to be 150.
Oh, crap.
So I will have to lose something like 50 plus pounds. So that will take that's a year, honestly,
yeah,
or close to it. So I'm going to begin a very long, prolonged diet phase, get a cut down, try to grow my proportions. I'm deciding between, do you know much about bodybuilding, Nate, or the different divisions?
No, my brother is more into that than me. I'm more of a, you know, jiu-jitsu guy than a bodybuilder guy.
Well, I'm pretty new to it, Nate, but there is kind of like three... There's many divisions, but there's kind of like three types of competitions, from my understanding, that you could do. Men's physique, where they're wearing the swimming trunks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they really just look at that V taper, like the width of the back and the very narrow waist. And then legs are literally not factored in, except like maybe your calves. So that one's very much about like the V taper proportions and upper body. Then there is men's classic. That's more like inspired by like Arnold and that stuff. That's kind of like the poser trunks. So it's not quite the full speedo. It's like
you.
The trunks.
Yeah, yeah.
And for those, they factor in legs, but there is a weight limit. So you're going for what they say is like an X shape where your legs are big. You got like, and then, you know, broad shoulders, bigger arms, but then you still have that like narrow waist.
Right.
I'm so far maybe leaning towards that one because I actually have like, so far my genetics have maybe only given me like above average legs. So I think I probably won't do as well in men's physique, but I could maybe do a little slightly better in that one.
In the classic.
Yep. And then the third one, I think it's called open bodybuilding or something like that. I don't know the exact title. That one is where there's no weight limit. And so that one's about putting on as much mass while still maintaining symmetry and stuff, but there's like no weight limit. So those guys go in like those big, big like guys, which I'll
and
have
no
shot at hell. Yeah. And then that one, you are literally in like a speedo.
Yeah.
So I will definitely not be doing that because there's no possible way to put mass on that level of mass in a long time, but probably between one of the two. So yeah, my plan is to Seems like April is probably the earliest I would consider, if depending on the progress we made. But I have a long way to go to cut down. And then we have to see, like, I've never been that lean before. Do I even have good enough genetics to get on stage or whatnot? So we'll see.
What brought this on, if I can ask, Nate? Like, because bodybuilding is definitely something that you need to put 100% effort and your time into. So, like, what, like, sparked this drive for bodybuilding?
I mean, it's basically my Instagram feed. Like, it's all I look at. I even from, like, I would say from, like, after high school, like, when kind of like the heyday of, like, YouTube, like, I was just really fascinated. Like, I've always been reading about fitness and nutrition. Mm-hmm. It's just that it wasn't until, like, I had, like, a good job and I had enough money to, like, go to the gym. And for, like, so much of my 20s, Nate, was about grind
right.
for work and career. And now I'm still very much a career man, but I have the resources to kind of, like, afford to, like, okay, if I can't cook a meal, if I can't meal prep all 7 days, I can afford a, like, company that will mail my meals to. So it's possible now to, like, have a little bit of the money to help offshoot the areas where I don't have as much time. So I feel like in my 30s, I have more time. And then, yeah, I know. I just, like, I'm not getting younger, you know, Nate? So this is the most fit, the most, like, as strong as I've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
And now I want to get just really lean and see, like, it's not about winning. I'm going to get destroyed, Nate. You've met me. I'm not a bodybuilder.
Right.
But I'm going to get destroyed on stage. But I think it's about what is the best version, the best presentation of myself, right? And you know me as a marketing person. I'm all about presentation. So going up on stage and presenting the very absolute best version of me, that's what I'm excited about. I'm not thinking I'm going to win anything. I'm not thinking that I, like, have amazing genetics. I think that, like, I'm curious to see what that is for me.
Well, if you treat it like a marketing gig, Nate, you'll probably fucking win.
We'll see. Still struggling to get listeners to the Daft Monks podcast, despite all my marketing.
Yeah, sports, I wouldn't have a doubt in my mind. If you treat it like your job, you're probably going to fucking win.
Now, speaking of which, Nate, I think you had a competition recently.
Oh, no, not till three more weeks, I think, at the end of this month.
Oh, it's way out there.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. But I did give up on cutting weight because I got down to about 211, 210. And I was just floating there. There was nothing more I could have done. And then one day...
What do you mean floating? I'm sorry, I don't follow.
So, like, my weight was just staying right there at 210, 211, no matter what I did. I would eat, and I'd stay at 210. I wouldn't eat, I'd stay at 210. And so just floating, like, even if I chug a bunch of water, and then I'm still back at 210. So I was just stuck, hard stuck at 210.
Interesting.
So I emailed the people, and I was like, look, I'm not fighting at 210. You need to change my name back up to 220. And then... Right then, I dropped back down to 208, and I was like, son of a bitch, right after I emailed him. But now I'm eating again, and my protein intake's been way up. So I'm still staying about 213 right now, last time I checked this morning.
So are you kind of at a disadvantage, though, if you're fighting people at 220 now and you're 213?
Oh, yeah. Like, so that's
do you think you can get that number closer
in
3 weeks?
Yes, I can. But at the strength thing, so I need to hit the gym harder. Like, I've been going every morning. I wake up at 3 to 3:30 every morning. And go work out because that's the only time.
That's a testament. That that's crazy. That's so impressive.
Right. And then my driving factor, I guess you could say, is like I lay in bed. Today was awful. I didn't make it because the trip and everything. I'm dying. But usually, like, if it's a rough morning, at like 3:30 in the morning, I'm like, you do not want second place again. And then so I'm out of bed and then I'm at the fucking gym.
Good for you. Now, like, going back to the tournament we talked about kind of mid end of season two, like, it wasn't really a strength that, like, that guy was clearly at the max weight
right
for that category.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really just like the weight, you can handle the weight, like, you could, it was it that you needed to be closer to the max weight, or was it like that if you were stronger it would have been fine?
If I was stronger, I would have been fine. And
you
then,
were rusty for that tournament. That was your debut coming back for after a while,
right? And then on top of that, it was body type actually plays a huge factor into it. So you saw on the podium, I was standing on second, he was standing on first, and I was still a foot taller than this dude. And so him being short and stocky, so all of his weight is just combined, and a little ball. So I definitely needed to be stronger to move a little bit better. And then, of course, the refs stopping the match halfway through a heel hook and asking if that's legal, that kind of fucked me up.
Well, and then, you know, Nate, I'm going to just kind of guess here, or just I don't know, this might not be true, and feel free to call me out, but like, I feel like the mental game is real with you. I feel like if you get pissed off or you've convinced yourself you lose, Like, I feel like I've seen that when we've, like, interacted even sometimes. Like, if you convinced yourself of something, that's it. You're checked out. So I think, like, some of that, the, like, series of unfortunate events that went on last tournament, I'm sure that was, like, you can't talk yourself back up from. So
that
I would
imagine. 100% accurate. Yep. As soon as they stopped the match, mid-match, to go check the fucking rules, I was like, well, this is it, you know? Like, yeah. What am I fucking going to do now?
Nate, what exercise are you doing to get stronger for jiu-jitsu? I'm curious. I don't actually know, like, what would you do, like weightlifting-wise?
Really, not to get stronger, but just to get my cardio up, I've been running. Usually I do anywhere from 1.5 to 3 miles every morning. And then on top of that, I actually have my workout routine that Mikey sends me. So most of them I'm really not familiar with, so I have to look them up. And then that burns up some of my time. But then,
is it like upper body? Is it like chest or back? Like, what do you do? Can you do now?
It's everything. He has.
Is he a trainer? Like, or is that just like a hobby for him?
Yes. He also loves bodybuilding. So if you have any questions about anything, you should feel free to message him. He loves it. And he wouldn't give up the gym for fucking anything. And you could tell because he weighs more than me right now, even though I'm a foot taller than him.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
How tall's Mikey?
Probably a foot shorter than me.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen his pictures. I'm like, this guy's huge. Like yeah. He looks jacked. I've never just stopped to, like, think about height or anything.
No, he's definitely on the average for height scale. So he's probably about your height and everything. But, yeah, he follows all the workout routine and regimen and stuff like that. And then he knows what he's doing.
Cool. Yeah, no, that's awesome.
Well, with that, Nate, I'm really excited to announce that you had asked me a few weeks ago about transition music. And I was originally going with like a jazz thing and it just wasn't coming out the way I wanted, but I hired somebody to create some transition music. So you want to talk, like, how do you think we should do this? Do you want to talk about it first? Do you want me to play it for the listeners and then we talk?
Yeah, let's play it for the listeners and then we'll talk about it.
All right, here we go.
Venom in the machine, yeah. Disconnect the screen, yeah. We trapped in the regime. We don't recognize the world. This reality's a dream. They've been watching from the citadel, so we can never leave. Now, half monks in another paradigm. Cybernetic state of mind, another state of mind. Rocking with them, half monks. Let's take a deep dive. Taking over circus is the code we gotta live by. Yeah, we the death monks. Hey, living as an avatar. Living as an avatar. Yeah. Healing up my battle scars. Corruption left the planet dark. So we plugged in like we had to charge.
Daft Monks.
Daft Monks. If I hear Daft Monks one more time, I'll blow my fucking brains out.
Okay, so fun fact. I love the clip.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome.
First of all, honestly, it is awesome. Why Nate and I are joking a little bit. So that is obviously a cut down. I'm not going to play it. We have a full minute, three minute song with like a hook and everything. This, like, I paid a guy who ghost wrote the lyrics. He produced it. Like, it came out really phenomenal. His name's Northside Nate. You should check him out.
No, I love the full length song. I really do.
But why we're kind of giggling a little bit isn't a 3 minute song. And this is my fault. I gave him feedback, right? I'm a marketing person. So I'm like, make sure you say Daft Monks. In the 3 minute song, he says it, Nate, maybe 37 times. Like, he definitely took my feedback.
Oh, so, yeah.
We were originally like, we should play the full song. I'm like, no way. Like, it's just a little bit too much self promotion, unfortunately. It's like, yeah, Daft Punk.
Well, you're already listening to me. Yeah. But I don't blame him one bit. If you're telling me, like, no, you need to say Daft Monks, I'll be like, all right, motherfucker, I'll say Daft Monks.
He hit the breed. That's what they say. It's one of those, man. Nate, I'm definitely, when I like hire people to do things like cover art, I'm always of the mind that if I give you as few limitations as possible, you'll create better work. If I really confine you, then I see really shit work. However, this is an instance where I never want to be that guy. It's like, say it 4 times, but not more than 12. You know, right. Like, it's that's kind of hard. I just want to trust them. But there's times where, like, okay, if you don't specify it. And you can always ask for edits. But, like, this guy produced, like, the entire song by the time he showed it. So I'm not going to be like, take 17 of the Daft Monks out. But I'm super happy with it. That will be the music we will transition with. I'm not going to play it again this episode for you guys, but I added it as a trailer to the season. But yeah, really excited to have, instead of just Nate narrating a piece that he just winked one episode, we actually have, I think, some quality music now. Something kind of catchy.
Yeah. I like it. It's very anime, but it's also still very cyberpunk. Like, I have a friend at work who is big into cyberpunk as well, and he says that we nailed it. Like, it sounds like something that would play in the cyberpunk video game on the radio. So I think
just
we
say Donnie. His name's Donnie. Just
no, it
that.
Was actually Kevin.
Oh shit!
Yeah,
fellow
lineman.
There is another. Okay.
There's another nerd. Nice. There are nerds amongst us, Nate.
Oh wow. Okay. No, very cool. Yeah, Nate. The inspiration was actually, I don't know if you've seen Samurai Champloo. I think you said you haven't, but they have like a. It's in like a samurai era. I forgot whatever feudal Japan era it is. But it has like, it's very like urban kind of like rap vibes. They do like the transitions in that anime is actually like a disc scratching. And then like the beginning intro is like a rap. And so that was actually, I was like, hey, like, this is kind of what we're going for. Obviously the speed of the tempo of the song is different. It's a different vibe. But yeah, I was really happy with how it came out. Sometimes you order stuff on Fiverr with a freelancer and it's just total crap. You've seen some of the stuff I was showing you, Nate.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
This is awesome. And you're like, oh, is it? But this came out amazing. So yeah, I'll probably like name the guy this season who made our cover art and the guy Northside Nate who did our theme music were so phenomenal. I'll probably credit them in the actual episode descriptions.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If you guys ever want to check them out, like actual talents, and you should hit them up.
Very happy with our end result.
Nate, are you ready for some Daft Monks?
I am so ready for Daft Monks.
All right, cue the fake music since we already played the real music.
Last time on Daft Monks.
No, not that voice. Not that one. So last time, Ash and Roy, they meet in the lower level of Beacon, the server room, as it were, and they discover a giant test tube child who they accidentally break free and then kidnap or escape with, up to you how you want to describe that. And then they proceed to make their escape to somewhere off the grid, somewhere completely unsearchable, unfindable, which happened to just be Ash's apartment in the impoverished section of Beacon City.
Like, middle class, like, it's not that bad, you know? Like,
absolute slum. No, so, and in my mind, you know, I think we talked about it, but the factory workers, the reason why they, like, aside from the vehicle that was being tracked, which they disposed of at the end of their trip, the factory workers aren't tracked as heavily as corporate workers because they're not believed to have, like, you know, except if they have, like, special clearances or not, but
right.
They're not believed to have, like, proprietary secret undisclosed information.
Yeah, they don't know anything.
Yeah, they tend to not be tracked, and I think that's like a cool vibe of like they actually don't even know how many factory workers there are, you know, or whatever, like how many like actual like blue collar people. That's kind of it's like an underground population that just happens to actually live on the surface.
Right. I like it.
So we go into Ash's apartment. It is on the top floor of the building, and the elevator is not working. That has no impact on Ash and his impressive thighs, but it does on Roy, who has never walked very far in his life, let alone elevated his body more than a couple levels at once, physically. We meet Ash's roommate, Jer, so to speak, or we hear him, and it is revealed that Ash is pretty much stealing everything from Jer at all times.
You got to find a way to survive in the city.
And Ash, unfortunately, is not happy about the fact that Roy has come to the conclusion that he needs to stay and lay low with Ash for a while. However, after Roy threatens to reveal to Jer everything Ash is stealing from him, they come to the agreement that maybe at least for now, they can lay low at Ash's place.
Yep. I like it.
And we did not talk much about the boy that episode, ironically, but he was basically unconscious most of the time while they were arguing. This is all pretty fresh. And I will hand over Nate to you to pick up tonight's episode.
Okay. We are still standing in the apartment. I look over to Roy. I am obviously Ash. Look over to Roy. Okay. We're staying here. I get it. But first things first, we need to figure out what the fuck that thing is and what do we do with it. And he's pointing over to the child sleeping on the couch.
Well, first off, Ash, it's 2078. That thing has pronouns, and they are either he, him, it, her, fuchsia, or them. And we will wake it up and I think ask what it would like to be called, if that's okay with you.
Okay, so I guess the first step is we sit and wait for the person to wake up and ask them what their pronouns are, And then from there, we figure out who they are and what we do with them. That sounds terrible, Roy. Honestly,
just,
that sounds...
Just as that, you start complaining, the door knocks, and it's like, hey, Ash?
Yeah, Jer.
Yeah, hey, man. I was doing my laundry in the laundromat the other night, and I went back, and none of my laundry's in the dryer. Have you seen anybody wearing a Hawaiian shirt or 5-inch shorts? Which, by the way, that is the outfit you're like currently wearing at the current moment in your apartment.
I look down like, nah, Jer, I haven't seen your clothes anywhere, man. I would tell you if I did. You know what? I think it's apartment 52. Like, I've seen them steal clothes before. I wouldn't put it past them, Jer.
Oh, that's real unfortunate. I don't know them in apartment 52, but I'm starting to smell real bad, man. I've been wearing the same underwear 3 days, and this shirt hasn't fit me in a long time, Ash.
Well, Jared, just get out of the house, man. Like, go buy something, you know? You make good money doing whatever it is that you do, so hop on out, you know? I'll cover the place, you know? I'll listen for sounds or anything like that. You don't have to worry.
All right, okay, I guess that sounds good then. I'll go purchase more clothes.
All right, thanks, Jer. Good talking to you, bud.
And Roy's like, does that guy really never figure out that you... How do you even get in his apartment?
Oh, I made a key the second day I was here. It's no big deal.
How do you make a key? Don't you have to like get like corporate approval to like have access to another person's dormitory?
Oh no, we just have regular metal keys here, and I actually, you know, have the tools to make that. So I asked him.
Oh my god!
I told him, you know, that it looked really interesting, and I should borrow it for approximately 5 to 10 minutes while I file down a copy. And he was none the wiser. But I think he might be catching on to me because he's been bantering me a lot more lately. But, you know, what's he gonna do?
Oh, wow. Look, he's waking up. Or it. Fuchsia's waking up.
Listen, boy. Make eye contact with me. Okay, good. Are you a boy? Shakes his head up and down. Yes. Okay, good.
There's no pressure either way. We just want to know how to address you and what you would prefer to be identified.
Come on, Roy. Get it together. All right.
All right. All right. Sorry.
Now, do you have a name? He shrugs. Okay, great. That's fantastic. Can you talk? No. Okay.
Paper. What if we give him paper and a pen? Paper
ooh,
and a pen.
Perfect. Perfect. Yes. Ooh, paper is hard to come by nowadays.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, charades. okay. How many words? I like hold up my hands like 2, 3... One.
He's like smiling at you.
Okay. Clearly you haven't been to the corporate fun day at your place of employment. Are you employed? How old are you?
He looks down at like his fingers and toes and then just shrugs.
Okay. Wow.
Ash.
Yes.
I don't know what to do with this thing.
Neither do I. I am not good with the children's. And this one seems to be broken. That's possibly why he was in the tube.
Should we try to feed it?
Push over. What do we call it? The
bagel bites?
No, the Red Bull equivalent.
It's just bowl or something. Yeah. Or big bowl.
Balls or bowl. Whatever the fuck it
bowl
was.
Bowl balls, I don't know.
And I push it over to him, and he kind of like looks at it, and he's like, nah.
God damn it. Well, he'll get hungry eventually, I'm sure.
Right. He's got to eat at some point, right? Like, what about the pooping situation? Like, do you know how to use the bathroom? And he just shrugs again, like, oh, this is fucking great, dude.
Yeah, this is going to be problematic. I have a great deal of supervisory training, but we are usually trained on fully competent adults who can do each other's job and not poop their pants. And I don't know where we stand.
Yeah, that's obviously not what this is, Roy, but thank you for that. I'm sorry this isn't synergy, but we've got to figure something out. And I might know somebody who could potentially help, but it's probably going to cost us.
Oh, that's fine. I have like a little bit of credits left in my bank account, which has probably been drained at this point, actually. So yeah, costs might be a problem.
Well, yeah, it's usually not a money thing. It's more of a favor for a favor kind of thing is how she works, yeah.
Roy, like, straightens his tie and, like, rolls up his sleeves a little bit. Like, yes, I've exchanged a favor or two at the office before.
Well, What kind of favor have you exchanged at the office, Roy?
Well, you see, Pam, you know, well, you don't know Pam because you've never worked at Speaking Group, of course. But Pam would occasionally ask me to come over and plug something in to the power strip under her desk. Now, I knew what that really meant, and she was getting a good look at Ash Mygadunkadunk. And I wore the tightest pants I could, mm-hmm. and I knew what it was about. And she asked me all the time. I don't even know how that thing kept getting unplugged, me. Or Ash.
That's like, how into character we are.
We use the same office equipment every day, Ash. Why would things be unplugged? Why would you ever unplug your computer? And yet every day I had to go and I don't know. She thought, I don't know. She just kept staring. And then Greg would laugh because he knew she was into me.
Mm. Greg sounds like a real piece of shit.
Well, all right. Besides all that, Roy, I guess that's really the only thing I can think of right now since you won't let me go on the conspiracy theory forums.
That is literally will lead them right to it. That is the first place they check that.
Well, tomato, tomato, you know. We're like 6 blocks down. We can hoof it. You get used to walking down here on the lower levels, so it's not that big of a deal. She won't be expecting us, but she's probably doing her second job right now.
Do you have a garbage chute that does not incinerate its contents?
It's actually broken.
Okay, great. So I'm going to have to take the stairs again.
Okay, yeah, because the garbage chute is set up right now that when Jer throws his trash out, it actually loops back into my apartment. So that's why that's currently not working right now. So you would just be on a circular...
Why would you want his trash, Ash?
Well, sometimes one man's trash is another man's treasure, man. Like, I don't know why you're judging me about it. Like, well, these are tough times, you know?
I mean, it's Jer. I haven't even met the guy, but I've heard him. What does he have that you could possibly want?
Well, one time he threw out a roll of toilet paper, still had 3 squares left on it. Can you believe the madness? We're just wasting away at this time, you know?
Mm. Yes, you'd be an excellent operations manager. All right, why don't you meet me down in 10 minutes? I'll probably need that head start to get down the stairs.
All right, what are we doing with the boy? Are we bringing him along? Do I take a picture of him?
It's too risky, Ash. We don't know how to communicate with this kid. We don't even know if he fully understands us. He might not be all there. You know what I mean?
We look over at him, and he's just smiling at us, giving us, like, 2 thumbs up, like, yay. You know what,
see?
Roy? That's the only thing you've said that made sense this entire fucking day.
All right. That sounds good. I'll see you down there in a little bit. Maybe bring a bottle of water and something for me to change into when I get down at the bottom.
All right. Fine. Fair enough. While you're heading down, I am, like, setting up a blanket and a pillow on the couch. And I'm laying out some bagel bites and some whatever Red Bull future equivalent that I have left. Stay here. TV works on channel 2, and that's it. So just turn it on. Turn it up loud. Jer loves it loud. Turn max volume. Turn it up. Jer talks. Just do what you do and just sit there. Good. Okay. 2 thumbs up. Yeah. Great.
And I just imagine he's not like making eye contact with you, and he's just staring at your toaster the entire time.
Okay, yes. He's probably going to try to fuck the toaster. That's great. I will go to the toaster and I just unplug it and then look at him and then just start walking out to meet you downstairs.
Okay, so fast forward, we get downstairs. Roy is profusely sweating. He takes off his tie. He's like, that's probably a dead giveaway. And he like tosses it. And just in the lobby, he assumes that this whole place is a trash can anyway, especially since Jared's trash literally just loops into your apartment. I imagine it doesn't go into like a container either. It just like dumps like it onto the floor.
I rigged it up so it's just like a little hatch opens up and it just slides down right there into my kitchen.
It's going to be a thing whenever Roy goes on like a rant in your apartment, the trash is going to blow in and like hit him.
Like, this piece of shit Jer thinks he's better than me throwing out trash.
All right, so where are we going, Ash? I don't want to be out in the sun very long. I don't have as much melanin as you blue-collar workers do.
Yeah.
Nor do I have your lens glasses to protect my eyes.
I can tell that. And your throat looks very open and airy now. It's nice to see you let up a little bit.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to need this, you know, for things. The favors, you know, maybe she needs me to
deep throat a banana.
I was trying to think of like an everyday task like that, that wasn't
what
sexual.
Pam had you do? Roy was deep throat a banana one time because I know I'm not a part of the office culture, but I don't think that's appropriate for anything.
She said it was too cold and she wanted me to warm it up for her.
Well, we're going to go to somewhere similar to that, I guess. We're going to go meet Proxy. She's a ex-girlfriend of mine.
We're meeting a proxy to somebody else.
That's just her name is Proxy. I don't...
Well, that's just confusing, Ash.
I know. I tried bringing it up to her before, but she didn't want to tell me what her God-given name was or birth name or whatever we're calling it. But her name's Proxy. She's currently at this time of day. I look down at your Hollow Watch.
we smashed it, remember?
Oh,
we
accelerated
that.
Oh, so I pop on my lens real fast and I'm like, oh yeah, at this time of day, she's working at her second job. So I don't know if you've ever been to a place like this. Just try to keep it together. Okay, it's a little seedy.
You don't have to tell me to be cool, Ash. I am cool as a cucumber.
That's when we flash forward to a strip club. And it's just like, have you been to a place like this before, Roy?
You look over and his eyes are just wide. And then this is actually a true story, Nate, that is inspired by me. His nipples are rock hard and very visible through his shirt. Like that you've never noticed before, but something about the air conditioning in this place or the sexy women is just, he is just smuggling raisins.
And you got like a white collared shirt on. There's like a black light on. I can see right through it. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Did I tell you though that story in real life? Like,
no.
Aside, we did a testimonial for like our boss's like anniversary. And it was like they had like a professional camera crew and it was really cold in that room. And so they took me from like everybody from like the rib cage up. And when we went back to watch the edit, my nipples were like so incredibly articulated through the shirt. So then what they were like is like, well, we'll just crop it. But to crop it, they had to come really close. So everybody had like the regular like profile crop. And then it was really zoomed in on my face because they cropped out my nipples and filled the screen. And I'm like, just cut me. Just go ahead and cut me.
I don't need to be in it that bad.
Yeah. So that's, I'm going to say when Romy is uncomfortable with the situation, it doesn't have to just be like sexual or from attraction. If he's just uncomfortable in general, yeah, it looks like he's smuggling raisins.
And also laughs very inappropriate.
this is a cool place, Ash. Never been here before.
It's not that great. Listen, Proxy just cocktails here. You know, she's like a waitress. We just got to go in, hit her up for some info. It's kind of her real job. And then we'll be out. All right, man. So don't make it weird. Like, hold your hands over your chest or something.
Okay. All right. Nothing weird here. Hello, ma'am. Hello, daughter of a father. Hello.
Don't talk to them. Just stay close. It'll be fine. And
okay.
Then so the club
I'm with
is...
him.
I like take my hands off my nipples and point to you.
Your nipples also pointing to me. We start working our way up to the bar, trying to walk fast, almost as if to ditch you, but it seems like you have found a piece of my clothing and are just holding on to it, and I'm plowing through the large crowd of people that are currently at the strip club. There's not a lot to do in the under city, I guess, the underbelly of the city, so this is actually a pretty hip-happening place. We walk up to the bartender, and then I look over at him, and I'm like, fuck. It's fucking Borg, man. I don't want to deal with it. Can you just ask it if Proxy's working? And then you look over my shoulder and see the bartender, and it is a cyborg, like android, deus ex machina fucking thing. Just fucking
clean. She has like a short, so she's feminine in nature and has like a short, like butch haircut,
but also very robotic. She has a robot arm just spinning a complete 360, cleaning out a glass. Yeah. I'm like, this is a thing, Roy. Like, I'm sorry. I was hoping the thing wasn't going to be working today. Just ask it where Proxy is and if we can talk to her. That's all you got to do. I don't talk to those things.
Beep bop, Miss Borg. I would like to have an interaction with you, if I may.
Sure. Go ahead.
Well, you sounded awful lot like my friend Sheila, who is not an intern.
But also robot style. Cool, right?
Yes, you seem like a fine Galborg.
Galbot.
Galbot. Yes, Galbot. Gal Gadot. Bot.
Gal Gadot.
Anyway, my friend here who did not want to participate in the conversation, he was intimidated by your magnanimance or something like that. We are looking for a proxy.
Oh, yeah, she's working around the corner, and your friend couldn't handle these robot tits.
They start what's that called? Like, like a jackhammer.
Gyrating.
Gyrating.
Like hydraulic jackhammers. Like.
Wow, that's a cool party trick you have there.
Borg. Ash throws up in his mouth a little bit.
Thank you very much. You have been very helpful. And I flip like a USB adder, thinking like that's... I've not had a lot of interactions with actual androids or cyborgs. Nate, is there a distinction between cyborg versus android? Should we talk about that?
Yes. So a cyborg, in our terms, is somebody that was once human or is still partially human but has fitted their body out with a lot of robotic pieces. So you can tell that they were once human, kind of, and then a full-on...
Android?
Android, yes, thank you. I brain fart. A full-on android was something that was always just a robot.
Got it. And then people modify themselves pretty often. So what you're saying, with a cyborg, they're like kind of less human than they are modification.
Yes.
Where if somebody just like replaces a hand with a robotic hand, they're still viewed as mostly human and thus not a cyborg. Is that like a good understanding?
Yes, that is correct. So a cyborg is somebody who probably was willing in adding all of these extra like implants and things like that added to their body, like chopped off their real arm so that they could get a robot arm kind of thing.
Got it.
All right, well, thank you, Borg. You have been very helpful. We are going to find Proxy. Do we need an appointment or to introduce ourselves?
No, she's literally right there around the corner.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. Appreciate it. And I flipped, as I said before, I flipped that USB stick at her.
It hits her in the forehead and just falls to the floor. And she's like,
what do you think about these robot tits? Interested?
His nipples just get like more articulated through his shirt.
Yeah, you are. I get off it too.
Roy, walk quicker. Or Ash, please walk faster.
You don't have to tell me, man. Like, Ash is already gone. He's starting to walk over to where Proxy's at. We go up to her, and then I look back at Roy one more time. And I'm like, hey, man, just if things get a little weird, it's just what happens between us. So, like, just play it cool. Don't try to jump in. This is just the kind of like thing that we do.
No problem. Whatever is in your past is your between you and... And then he looks over and can you describe what she looks like?
Proxy is actually a very, very attractive woman for being down in the lower middle class area. She has a very corporate air about her, which kind of gives way to what her real job could be. She's currently in like a cocktail waitress outfit for the club. But you can tell that like she has certain implants that like a normal corporate exec would have, like these kind of things. Like her skin is flawless, the way she cuts her hair and everything is very corporate. So it's almost off-putting that she's down here amongst the common folk, but here she is nonetheless.
And Roy finishes a sentence. Oh my God, she's beautiful. And his nipples like immediately stop being like super weird looking and they just go back to normal, like indicating that he's very comfortable around her.
Oh, calm down, Roy. She's all right. Proxy, hey. Hey.
And she starts sauntering over, as it were, very kind of coy in nature, looking you up and down, then looking over at Roy up and down, fixating on his nipples for maybe a little bit briefer moment, then longer.
They get hard again.
Yeah, they get hard again. And she's like, well, look what the cat dragged in. Good to see you, Ash.
hey, Proxy, you know I wouldn't come here unless it was kind of important, but this is my new friend, Roy. He's kind of a corporate guy. It's nothing to really worry about, but we're in a bit of a pickle, so we kind of need to be fast. Is there...
Roy here. I'm here to say that I am a great friend of Ash's, and I think you are absolutely beautiful, and you take as long as you want.
I think, like, both of you just, like, stare at Roy for a moment. And then she's like,
friends, huh? Since when did you start doing friends, Ash?
Actually, it's a new thing that I'm doing now. It's part of the Daft Monk's email that I receive. It says I need to put myself out there and make myself a better person. And friends was probably number 7 on that to-do list. So I figured, why not start with number 7?
Oh, wow. Number 7. Just skip 1 through 6, huh? Hey, okay, here's a tip for you, kid. Roy. Roy, was it? Yeah. Ash doesn't commit to things very long. This is all not going to last very long, so don't get too attached.
Listen, I don't think you need to air that to Roy. Like, he's my friend, and he just doesn't need to know that, okay? So, I have a job for you. Would you like...
She, like, stops you for a sec. You know we don't talk about this stuff in here. Come to the back. And she, like, pulls you into, like, the kind of more private area of the club. She's like, I'm going to have to make this look legitimate. So she starts giving, like, royal lap dance. Like, well... Sorry, she's a cocktail waitress, right?
Yeah.
Stripper. Sorry,
yeah.
That's not a thing. So she just starts serving us, and she pretends to be taking our order, but she kind of, like, leans in.
All right, this is the gist, Proxio, right? We may have or may not have stolen a small child from Beacon.
Jesus, Ash, that was you?
Yes. We just need to know what this thing is. It's not like a normal kid, Proxy. Like, he just stares at me blankly and he gives me 2 thumbs ups, and he didn't even want to drink my Red Bull equivalent future drink.
Children don't drink Red Bull, you idiot. Have you guys even turned on the news? Half your questions would probably be answered if you just looked. He's all over the news, Ash. Everyone's looking for you.
You know my TV doesn't work.
I know, but you do steal it from Jer.
I can't use it when Jer's there. You know this, Proxy.
Oh, and he's always there. That's true.
Piece of shit.
All right, listen. Well, big shocker, you need something. Not surprised, but yeah, I can help you. But you know how it goes. You're going to have to do me a favor.
Yeah, let's cut to the chase. What do you need from me?
All right, listen. She, like, leans in a little bit. So we've been sniffing around in the nail salon next door. Something's going on. I have a very important benefactor who is interested in whatever operation they're running. It's the front, for sure. They're definitely not doing nails, but we're not able to get in. We need something a little bit more unexpected. And quite frankly, Ash and Roy, I think you're as bizarre as it comes. They're the last. You two are all over the news, but you're the last people they would expect to come into this type of place.
All right.
Go in, find out what's going on, and let me know so I can let my people know. That's it. It's a simple information gathering. You can handle that, Ash, right? Not going to quit or back out last minute?
No, I won't. And I will follow this through to the end because that's what I do now. I have changed, Proxy, and I just need to know one piece of information. How, like, dangerous is this?
I mean, hard to tell, to be totally honest. We haven't been able to get close. Surprisingly, in Hail Salon is incredibly locked down and tight-lipped there. So I don't know what's going on in that back room, if we're being totally honest. I would be careful if I were you. Discreet's the name of the game, which is something you're pretty good at. Him, maybe not so much.
He's getting a lap dance from somebody while you're pretending to take a drink order. Like, damn it, Roy. Okay, yeah, you got it. I will get this information for you, and then you help us find out who this fucking boy thing is.
Yeah, I think I already have an idea, but let me do some digging.
All right, you got it.
And Ash.
Yes?
Take care of yourself.
I always try to. You know that.
I know. Also, is number 8 on the Daft Monk's list giving me back my jacket? Because I left that at your house.
Actually, that's number 6, and I didn't do that. So you're welcome.
Great. At least you're consistent in being inconsistent.
Well, okay. Good talk. Thanks, Proxy.
You have 24 hours, she shouts as you're, like, walking away.
Yeah. I'm dragging Roy away. He's still getting a lap dance. Like, the stripper is on top of Roy's lap as I'm dragging him away on the floor.
I think she really likes me, Ash.
She wants your money that you don't have, Roy.
I don't know about that.
He doesn't have money, and she, like,
walks away.
Yeah. Like,
She's also half cyborg, and like her top half like rotates backwards, and then like the legs walk backwards,
yes. Like a crab walk open.
It's like, oh wow, that's really disheartening.
Yeah, it's a fucking disgusting place, Roy. No, the nail salon's right around the corner, so let's fucking hoof it. All right.
Ooh, I haven't had a mani-pedi in a while. That would be great. Are you paying?
Sure. Let's scope it out first, investigate, and see what we're doing.
Okay. So we go outside, we walk around the block, and yeah, from the outside, Nate, I mean, you want to describe what it looks like? To Roy, it looks like an everyday nail salon.
Yes, it is a very basically more middle class version of what Roy is used to. It's very exaggerated due to how our city is built. So it's very Blade Runner, where like the Japanese culture and Asian culture, it pops out more than the rest of the cultures that are within the city. So it is very typical cliche, like Cantonese fucking nail salon. Like you see the girls wearing masks, doing nails and toes and manis, pedis, whatever. And that's all we can see from the front.
I got to tell you something, Ash.
Yeah.
You are going to stick out like a sore thumb.
I could get a mani pedi. What are you talking about?
I've seen your feet, and that's all I'm going to say. Listen, us corporate type are a little bit more accustomed. I think it will be believable if I go in, but they're not going to believe you are going to just be here to get a spa day, as it were. So we need an excuse for why you're with me. Probably you're an employee.
Oh, okay. Yes, you could be a corporate man and I could be your assistant worker or something.
Yes. Okay, so I'll go in and I will treat myself to a mani-pedi. They won't charge me until the end, thankfully. And then I'll have to make a run for it, but my feet will be in good shape to do so. You're going to have to be the one, if I distract them, you're going to have to be the one to slip back in the back.
Stealth is the name of my game. I'm sure. One time I was in an elevator and people didn't even know I was in there.
He's just laughing. That's a good one, Ash.
As you're walking towards the front, I'm like, yeah, it really just happened like earlier today.
So he goes in and we're going to say a special skill. We're going to say that Roy can speak Cantonese. And he immediately like starts talking and they're like very engaged. And then he's like pointing to like his nails. And then, like, kind of just, like, waving. And then he, like, looks at you and, like, starts describing you in another language. And then just, like, kind of rolls his eyes and shrugs. And they just start, like, laughing. And then I, like, turn to you. I'm like, go hang up your jacket in the back. And then sit down and wait for me, Alfonso. And I, like, do a really obnoxious wink.
Awesome. I can tell that you get a lot of mani-pedis, Roy. This is going to work out great.
I like reach into my wallet and take out, I actually have like a membership card for this chain.
Like it's like a punch hole card.
Yeah. They're like all punched except for one. Like actually this is my free one. I mean, but this is serious business, if you know what I mean.
So yes.
I want to imagine too, when we go in immediately, like all these, I imagine it's women like you said,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah.
That they all just kind of like immediately snap their head like simultaneously to look at us. And then they continue to like file their nails, but these are like cyberpunk nails. So women have these like metal sharp, almost like kind of like the Wolverine kid.
Yeah.
Like they're just long, sharp, like aluminum nails. And so, and they're firing it with like actual, like the thing you would like sharpen your knife with.
Yeah.
They're like using on their nails. And then they have like neon designs and they like have like circuitry that they can like add to it and stuff. So they do some like cool shit, but like also you can kind of infer like, these women know how to handle unruly customers,
right,
as it were.
Like they're also prepped for battle, possibly.
Yes.
I notice this and immediately take a deep breath, take off my coat, and start walking to the coat rack in the back. Like, this is it. This is the day I fucking die.
I immediately like slap the back of your head as you walk by and start yelling at you in Cantonese and then take off my like jacket and my vest that I was wearing and I give it to you. And I'm like, I'm not going to try to do it because that would come off really messed up.
Yeah,
I just like yell at you and like point. And then I look at them and I just start like talking and they start laughing. And then I like honestly start to like sprawl out. Like I put like my feet down and my legs and the things. And I like look over at you and I give you a wink. And then I'm just chatting it up with these women.
Awesome. I take your vest and coat and my coat, and I back away kind of like a cowering dog. And then go hang them up on the rack, and then sit on the little stool next to the coat rack, and then kind of just wait. And then I'm going to get an eyeball of the room and look in the back door. I see that it's slightly ajar, and then I'm going to wait for my opportunity when I know that none of these ladies are looking to try to sneak back there.
So as they're like filling up the tanks of water, I like take something out of my pocket, like a little, I don't know, some kind of like little container. It's like a little keychain flask thing. I usually maybe keep like mouthwash in it or something to keep my breath fresh or something. And I like fill it. And then I just like kind of stick in my pocket for a little bit. And after some time goes by, when I feel like the attendees, or I don't know what you want to call them, the nail
tech
stylists.
Yeah.
The nail techs. When the nail techs seem slightly distracted, I look at the chair behind me and find like an outlet that it's plugged into. And I just kind of like pour the water in. And you hear like a little bit of like a short, and you like smell, like the lights don't, power doesn't go out or anything, but like smells like something's like kind of fried or burning.
Yeah, electrical fire.
Yeah, a little bit. And I start like making a big deal, and I'm like kind of yelling at them in Cantonese, like something doesn't like smell right. What's going on? I don't want to sit here. I don't want to, like, this is very uncomfortable. I'm like standing up now with my like pants rolled up and my feet are wet, and like they've already started on my nails, and I'm just like making a big scene, and they're like starting to like gather around me.
Perfect. I'm going to take this opportunity to just slowly stand up and then start walking into that back room.
Got it. What do you see when you enter the back room?
So I enter in the back room, and then actually this building is a lot bigger than what it seems like from the front. The storefront probably takes up only a quarter of it. So there's three quarters left of this building here that I can traverse through. There is a hallway, and I just follow that down. It's kind of dingy. There's dripping water. The lights are fluorescent because in the future there's fluorescent lighting. And then I just stealthily kind of make my way back. And then now I am upon a large silver door, which I've seen before. It's like a refrigerator door, kind of like for a big walk-in freezer. And I'm like, okay, this is kind of a weird thing to have in a nail salon. I creak open the door and just peek inside, and I'll let you choose, Nate, is the coast clear or not?
I'm not going to decide that, Nate, but what I will tell you is going inside, they're starting to, they've calmed me down, they've moved me into a new chair. Someone's like fidgeting with like the back of that other chair. They're like giving me extra attention now because they feel like I'm a very unhappy client, and they don't want to, they're like Lotus member level reward members, to be upset. They know I'm part of the like secret shopper group that reviews them on whatever app of the future that they're doing. But things are going back to normal, and I want to say at least one of the nail techs is like looking around for you, but she's not yet in the back room.
Okay. With that, I will creak open the door. I see that the coast is clear for now, and I walk inside the walk-in freezer. Inside the walk-in freezer are just racks and racks of hanging meat, which is kind of a surprise because there's not a lot of fresh meat here in the future of the year 2078 in Beacon City.
And this is made by biotech.
Right, correct, which you can tell is meat, but not really meat. So looking at this, I'm like, man, this looks like real meat, you know? Like I walk up to it, I'm poking it. It looks fucking delicious. Oh, man. And I keep walking, and eventually I find my way back to like a computer station. A little desk happened. It's got some files and stuff on it. And I just basically hop onto it. To my left, there's actually a large bay door that looks like a truck pulls up kind of thing, like a cargo bay. I'm not too worried about that. It seems like the coast is clear right now. And then I just basically hop on the computer and try to see what I can find on it.
Okay, Nate. That sounds good. I want to say that one of the technicians has now entered like through the back door, and they are looking around.
Okay.
And you hear a door close off in the distance.
All right. Shit, I got to be quick. Immediately open up whatever folders are just open on the home screen, because I figure whatever nefarious deeds they're doing, it's going to be on a folder on the fucking home screen. All that really pops up is some pamphlets for the suicide booth that we ran into earlier, and
basically a bunch of spreadsheet numbers. So I'm thinking this has got to be it. So I just start clicking print, super fast laser printer, like uses lasers and burns paper. And I have the files and documents with me right now. And then I shove them into my pants.
Got it.
I no longer have a jacket. They're just going in the pants.
Just then you can hear basically she is walking very, she's maybe like 5 paces away from your door. The steps are getting faster.
Okay. I am going to hide behind one of the racks of meat.
So you do that. Are you completely hidden or are you trying to like keep an eye on the door?
Yeah, I'm going to try to look at the door, but basically my intent was that as soon as she walks in, I'm just going to club her with this cold frozen meat and then make a run for it.
So the door opens and kind of like a velociraptor, you see just like aluminum nails like come around the edge. And then she slowly just kind of like comes around and is like kind of looking around. And one thing you notice is you didn't notice their eye color before, but it was like some kind of dark, maybe brown, whatever. It just was
like normal.
And she's looking around and she has these like red pupils now that she, and she's just like, you know, you get the vibe that she is.
Infrared.
Yes.
Oh my God. My heart is fucking pounding right now.
I'm going to say she starts in this room, like on the left side, and you're more in the middle. So she's like going slowly, like looking at like each like hunk of meat. And then are you going to do anything or she's about to gaze?
Oh man. So like a comedy style show, as she's moving, I'm trying to move with her, but stay behind the cold piece of meat, hoping that she doesn't look down to the floor level and see my blazing hot shins. But I'm gonna try to hide my thermal.
I'm gonna say it's like for some reason it's like foggy and like misty bottom because it's like a cooler kind of. It's like that kind of cooling fog or whatever, dry ice. And all right, she's looking. All right, we are gonna start incorporating roles. We're gonna start very simple, Nate. So odd or even, make your choice.
Odd.
Okay.
So yeah, he's got the dice.
It was odd. This is the actual number. You can't see that. But you did roll correctly. So for this first check, you passed. And somehow you're just like moving. And then suddenly her distraction gets, she like snaps back to turn around. And she can hear a lot of like Cantonese like yelling. And she immediately like rushes and starts like, you hear like fast pacing back to the front. And it sounds, you hear this, the women sound like angry and upset.
Oh, fuck. Fuck. Okay. Shit. I don't know if the documents I have are what I need, and I am not too completely computer savvy. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to run back to the computer and just take the fucking computer.
They're smaller, you know, now. It's more like a laptop, maybe, a futuristic laptop. So it's almost like your flip phone, kind of like you can like close it and then like fold it again and then like fold it again.
Yeah.
It's like an origami laptop. So you just like actually fold it down to something that fits like pretty nicely in your pocket, and you, I'm gonna say you drop it in.
Yep, perfect.
And what do you do now?
Now, oh shit, do I leave? Okay, I'm gonna open up the cargo bay door that leads into the alley, and then I'm gonna try to make my exit that way.
As you do that, you hear, "Let go of me, stop it. No, that's not what I asked for."
Oh shit, okay, so I'm going to close the cargo bay door and run. So I'm outside right now. I'm going to close the cargo bay door and run around to the front, back to the front of the nail salon. And I'm going to pull a cigarette out of my pocket and light it. And then just be like, what's going on in here, Roy? I was just out having a smoke.
As you go in and look in, they're all standing around my feet. And I'm like, you call that a cuticle cleaning? Like in English. And they're all like talking shit clearly in another language. And I'm like, this is the absolute worst service I've ever received. I am absolutely done. So I like step out. My feet are all wet. And I'm like, Alfonso, bring me my shoes. And I like wave you over.
I throw the cigarette into the street and immediately run inside, grab your shoes and our coats and vest and say, let's get out of here, Roy.
You will be hearing from my manager. Every one of you.
I point to, I'm like, yeah, you heard him.
Let's go, Alfonso.
Okay.
And I'm going to do a roll now. I'm going to say even. And it was an odd.
So we'll talk about it later, but we hastily leave. I'm going to say as we leave, one of them like kind of walks over to their like kind of communication station and they make a call in Cantonese. That sounds very, very suspicious.
Oh, let's get out of here.
So we're outside and I'm like, did you get what you needed?
I think so. You're going to have to look at it because I don't know what I'm really looking for. I'm not computer savvy, so I'm sorry. So here, I just hand you the files and the fucking origami.
Jesus, you took the whole thing, Ash?
I don't know what else to do, man. I didn't want to fuck this up.
They're going to track this. We can't bring this to Roxy. This is like a fucking, like, might as well GPS straight to our house.
All right, well, there's like a cafe around the corner, so just go over there, get what we need from it, download it to the fucking lens that I got, and then we'll email it or whatever the fuck we do, and then we'll just throw it in the trash and then be on our way.
I mean, I didn't finish my petty many, but whatever. We'll get this knocked out real
fast. Did you get those colored?
Yes. Okay. Management has to be open to all tones and shades so that everyone feels welcome.
Well,
you would know if you worked with people or were cooperative, which, by the way, Roxy seems to think you are not very committal or cooperative.
That's neither here nor there. And just so you know, before you got all sassy with me, I was going to say that shade looks really good with your eyes, but whatever.
Oh, you mean it?
Let's go.
All right, so we go into, I won't call it an internet cafe because that's not what it would be in the future,
right?
So it's more we're gonna call it like an avatar cafe.
Ooh, I like that.
So you go in and they give us literally like a private room to ourselves, and then we order something on like a holo tablet, whatever, and then you're expected to put on a mask and interact with other people. And I'm like, have you ever been to one of these, Ash?
Actually, I've never been. I have no idea what's going on.
It's kind of a good time. It's going to take me a minute to figure out how to, you know, get the actual files we need off this computer. Because I'm guessing all you did is what? Like, grab something off the desktop?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Why don't you hop on and interact with some of the locals? You may learn a thing or two, Ash. And I'll see if I can get the files.
I'll give it a shot. So, like, I put on, like, these special, like, VR-type gloves. And then put on the mask, and I'm like, it kind of smells. Is that normal, Roy?
Yes, that is very normal.
Okay.
That will not come off very easy.
Oh, fantastic. It's like, I'm almost imagining like a I got a size too small, so it's almost looking like a gimp mask on me. I'm like, is it supposed to be this tight, Roy? Like, I said a medium. Am I not a medium?
Do you want me to find the files or not?
Yeah, okay.
Just have fun. I tried to make this fun for both of us.
I'm sorry.
I got the mani-pedi. You get to be the avatar.
It's booting up right now. Wait, I'm still in the cafe, Roy. It's like on and booted up, but it's just my avatar person in the same cafe. Like, what am I supposed to do?
I can't hold your hand. I'm going to need you to figure this out.
All right, I'll try. Oh, this is how you walk. All right, I got that. I got it. I'm up.
Okay, you don't need to narrate. You don't need to narrate. I have some headphones. So I'm going to just put those in. And I stick those in, and I am busy, like, opening up the computer and trying to navigate the files. Tell me just a little bit about what the avatar is. So you're getting, let's say you find, like, the hub world, and you find, like, some portals to, like, other rooms in the cafe. Describe, like, which one tickles your fancy or catches your attention at... Tell me a little bit more about it.
Well, after I walked, so I'm going to say the avatar, like you're basically walking in the safe web, you know, the corporate sponsored website. So after I got through the ads, which was probably about the first 5 minutes of me walking, billboards slapping me in the face,
like suicide machines, 9 out of 10 people get a clean, fair death.
I'm like, thanks.
The 10th.
Yeah. Wave it. Wave it across. Also some like impotence fucking things, like Viagra style stuff. I'm like, no, I don't need that.
Cell phone signal got your wiener not working?
This is just a friendly reminder from biotech to spay and neuter your pets. Like, people still have pets? Rich motherfucker. And I keep walking, and then that immediately turns the corner, and then now I'm in like the porn alley, I guess, which is the second most popular. I do stop for a second when I see something. And I'm like, wow, I didn't know that was possible. And then just keep walking. Eventually, I find myself to like a very shady looking alleyway. And it's like, hey, man, you want to know some government secrets? And I'm like, you bet your ass I do.
And we'll leave you there. And then so what I'll say is Roy is on the computer. He is like trudging through files. And after a little while, he digs up something pretty interesting, and he starts to like nudge you to get your attention. Like, Ash, you hear like in the distance, like, Ash, come back.
Oh, yeah, Roy, what's up?
Or do you take the helmet off, or you're like talking?
No,
like,
I'm still
the virtual?
On. I'm still yeah. on.
I'm not going to say it out loud, Ash. You're on the safe net.
All right. I don't know how to log out. Do I have to walk back to the cafe?
Take the mask off, Ash.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You take it off. Like, oh. My hair is completely fucked up at this point. My face is all sweaty because the mask was too tight.
He's like, all right, let me see it. And I like switch off the power and unplug it. And I'm like, so the nail salon is a front. That's very clear. Mm-hmm. If you look at the financial records, it has nothing to do with any of the services that I've ever received at any of these places. So that's clearly bullshit. So I have all of those records, like their financials. You'll never believe this, Ash. They receive heavy, heavy deposits or donations from Valhalla Corporation.
The motherfuckers that make the suicide booths?
What would a nail salon want with, or well, they're not a nail salon. What would the Valhalla Corporation want with them?
Oh, I didn't tell you, Roy, in the back there where I found this computer were actually big, big hunks of meat just hanging in a freezer. It was a pretty crazy
thing. That's
not a thing.
They don't have meat anymore.
No, it was real meat. I swear to you, I've seen real meat once or twice.
We've never had real meat before. Biotech's meat is hardly what you would consider meat.
I'm telling you, I've seen it before, and this...
Well, like, all right, draw it.
Okay.
Like, what shape was it? Because it was a huge hunks, right?
Oh, yeah, perfectly. And then somehow, like, I expertly draw the big racks of meat.
Does it have, like a human shape? Or anything? Like, is it kind of, like, hips and, like, shoulders?
Yeah, it looks like something straight out of Predator. I'm like, there you go. It looked pretty much just like that, Roy.
So you have it upside down, and you don't see it at first, but I'm sitting across from you. I'm like, oh, my fucking God.
What is it?
And I like slowly turn the paper that you just drew upside down, and it literally looks like a person, like just standing really still. Like,
huh. I just look at it, I'm like, huh. Huh. Roy, you think that's a person? Like, is that a human?
Well, we know there's not real meat, and the Valhalla Corporation are making huge deposits into that account. Do you think you know what I'm thinking?
I'm thinking that I'm going to stop eating at the taco shack around the corner because their shit's fucking delicious. And I'm trying to put two and two together here.
Yeah. I think we need to get this to proxy stat here real quick. And I like try to like snap the like mask thing. And the like I'm like, ooh. And I'm having like no luck. I'm like, can you do this for me?
Oh yeah, just break it.
Yeah. All right. Broke. You just like snap it in half easily. Yeah, with like one hand or something. Yeah. And then I'm like, cool. And now the big computer thing.
Oh, I need to break that.
Yes. That like literally they're going to track.
I just throw it against the wall.
Okay. And like in the background, we hear like Cantonese.
Oh my God. they're onto us, Roy. We need to get out of here. You should have saw her. She looked like a fucking velociraptor. The way she was coming at me, I had to hide behind a piece of meat. I didn't tell you any of this because you dazzled me with this internet cafe, but it was terrifying.
Why the fuck wouldn't you say that to me?
I'm sorry. At one point, there was a mirror next to her, and she just like pushed her face up against the mirror and started breathing on it, and I didn't know what to think about that.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, well, they'll never be able to find what room we're in. It's not like they got, like, any kind of, like, x-ray vision.
They're fucking Borgs, man. They got... I didn't know how else to break it. Like, you're reminding me of this stuff that happened only 10 minutes ago, but the...
How do you know they're Borgs?
The bitch had infrared eyes. Bitch had infrared eyes, Roy.
Infrared eyes. Holy Jesus, we're fucked.
Oh, yeah, they were zooming in everything.
Just then, the door opens up, and they're like, we have your chai latte ready.
I immediately freak out and just stand up and hit the chai latte and it goes all over their face.
Yeah. He like wasn't expecting it. And we're like, I'm so sorry. There was bright lights and he had like a freak out, a bad experience with the helmet, the avatar helmet. And they're like, oh my God, I am so sorry. Like, yeah, I just got chai all over us. Could you take us to the back so I could change my clothes? And they're like, we are so sorry. Yes, please right this way. And she starts escorting us to the back, and I want to say like as we're hastily walking, like we like look down in the back and you see like one of the Cantonese people like look at us and then immediately start doing like the like Terminator run.
Her nails like pop out and for no reason whatsoever she starts climbing on the walls and then the ceiling.
She's like monkey bars, yeah. But she's just like stabbing the ceiling and like straight.
I'm like, she could have just fucking ran, man. It would have been just as fast.
I'm like, Ash, what do we do? And you just push the waitress down behind us. Or like, let's say she like, the woman like jumped back down and you like pushed her into her. And then we just like book it.
Oh, I thought she was just fat, Roy. I'm sorry. I'll write her apology letter later.
I want to say we get to the back. It's not a huge shop. And it was like a straight line to the back. We push out the door. And then...
I'm going to say...
You know, like those like three-person bicycles? But it's not a bicycle. It's like a motorcycle that Proxy is driving and has two seats in the back. And I'm like, oh, thank God, Proxy. I'm so glad you're here.
Beep, beep.
And she's like, Ash, I got the middle. And I like grab on and like wrap my hands around Proxy's stomach and like kind of like leaning close and like snuggle her.
I am going to go back to back against you, even though it's extremely uncomfortable and I'm hanging off the back of this fucking motorcycle.
And as that happens, she starts to take off and the back door flies open and all these like spider nail women
just kind of work with it.
Like rapidly chasing us, but they're not fast enough.
I just yell, and go.
And we like lose them in the city.
Oh,
you want to call it there?
I think so. I think that was I think let's wrap that up. That was terrifying. Thank you everybody for listening to this episode of Nat One Presents the Daft Monks podcast. Feel free to like, subscribe, share, listen to us. Tell your friends, tell your family members, tell the random stranger sitting on a bench out your window right now looking at you through binoculars.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoy the show, know that it takes a lot of time and resources and, quite frankly, a lot of money to get produced. So please go ahead and click the episode link for this episode and do a monthly contribution. It'll take as little as $3. That is one coffee need. That is one chai latte from an Avatar cafe. And that would mean a great deal to us. So if you're listening, Donnie,
yeah,
my mom, any of my friends,
my mom,
Trey, please. We used to do the Patreon. We're kind of bringing it back. We're spending a lot of money on the show and anything we can do. We're trying to get episodes out faster. So if you want episodes weekly and timely, we're trying to hire somebody to edit them faster. But that takes blah. So help us out and we would really appreciate it.
And that song wasn't fucking cheap, you guys. And you know it's awesome.
You know it. Daphma.
Daphma. Thanks for listening.
Good night.
Good night.
Congratulations. You've survived another episode of Daft Monks. Did you enjoy the episode? Do you love the show? Do you want to pay for our dental plan? If so, I think it's only fair that you show Nat One some love in return. No, not that kind of love. Please, put it away. Oh, I meant follow us on our social medias and all that good stuff. Simply click the links in the episode description to follow us on our Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, or click support our show to make a monthly contribution to help pay for all the expensive software Nate subscribes to. And don't worry, other Nate will see the money eventually as it grows, but not anytime soon. I promise. Lastly, do you want even more Nat One goodness? Of course you do. Who wouldn't? Then click the prequel podcast link to listen to our experimental first season of podcasting for 50 plus more episodes of conspiracy theories, messy one-shot campaigns, and of course, all of your favorite Nat One hijinks. Now, thank you a ton, and we will talk to you next week.